Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puff Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And say, if you hate to get up in the morning, just think about this appetite alarm clock waiting for you on the breakfast table. A bowl of crisp, fresh Quaker puffed rice or Quaker puffed wheat, topped with lots of milk or thick, rich yellow cream and sliced bananas or chilled fruit. Yes, you'll be out of bed like a shot. For the ones shot from guns. For a swell waker-upper, start tomorrow morning to enjoy the delicious, toasty, nut-like flavor and tender crispness of Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. Igor Jambol and Pete Arthur left their ship in Skagway and made their way into Yukon territory. Jambol had a plan for getting rich, and it didn't center around the search for gold.
Only a few men get rich mining. The real money is in furs and hides. That is what we are going to get.
We don't know anything about trapping, Igor.
We are not going to trap. We are going to steal. Steal furs and hides from Indians, Eskimos. And kill them if they try to stop us.
But that's dangerous, Igor. What about the monies?
Those red coats. They are to laugh at. We will not care about them. Right now, we take the money we stole from the ship and buy horses. Then, while the weather is still warm, we set out for the land by the Arctic Circle. I know enough about that country to find what we are after.
Within a few days, Igor Jambol and Pete Arthur were ready to head north out of 40 Mile. They had food, supplies, guns, and ammunition. And above all, they had definite plans for robbing and cheating the natives above the Arctic Circle.
Hit him!
The first reports that the two men were making a success of their lawless mission reached Northwest Mounted Police headquarters in midsummer. Sergeant Preston and King were in Inspector Conrad's office when Constable Palmer, youngest of the red-coated recruits, entered.
Constable Palmer reporting, sir.
Oh, yes, Constable.
How are you, Palmer?
That's fine, Sergeant. And you?
Well enough when I'm able to keep away from the man-eating mosquitoes we have up here.
Hello there, King.
Constable, Sergeant Preston and I have just been discussing a report I've received from the Peel River Territory. You know the area up around there?
Oh, I covered most of it during training, sir.
Good. The Indians and some Eskimos to the north of them report that two men have been robbing their traps and their storage huts. They've been using violence, too. I want you to bring them in.
Yes, sir.
It's my opinion that these men may be two ex-sailors named Jambol and Arthur.
These two have never checked out of the territory, and it's known that in the spring they equip themselves for some sort of trading expedition.
When they were around Dawson and 40 Mile, they never got themselves into any serious trouble. But if I'm any judge of men, this Jambol could be dangerous. When you locate them, be careful of him.
I'll be careful, Sergeant, believe me.
That's all, Constable.
Yes, sir.
Make your reports to the Mackenzie Peel Post.
Right, sir.
Constable, I'll be up around the circle on inspection shortly. Hope I see you up there.
I hope you do, Sergeant.
Good day, Inspector.
Good day, Constable, and good luck.
A few days later, Sergeant Preston, riding his horse Blackie, set out on what promised to be a simple tour of inspection.
Get up, Blackie. Come on, King.
But when he arrived 3 weeks later at the Mackenzie Peel Post of the Northwest Mounted Police, the expedition took on a new and alarming aspect.
Oh, Blackie, oh boy, easy.
As he dismounted, he saw a group of Eskimos gathered in front of the log structure. Their manner and the tone of their conversation seemed mournful.
Something's wrong, King.
The Eskimos, when they saw the sergeant approach, lowered their eyes and became intensely silent.
What is this? What's wrong? Ugald, you speak English. What's the matter?
Body inside, Sergeant. Akavak, take body inside.
Body inside? Come on, King.
Constable Guthrie stood in the corner with Akavak, Dominion-educated Eskimo. At their feet, covered with canvas, was a body. One look at the shining boots protruding from beneath the canvas was enough for Preston.
Who is it?
Palmer.
The boy?
Yes, Preston. Murdered.
Who did it?
Ask Akavak. He saw it happen.
All right, Akavak. Tell me about it.
Yes, Sergeant. For many weeks now, tales have spread that two white men who roam between the circle and the ocean, stealing from the traps of Indians and white men alike. They steal, too, from Eskimos. And when they do, they have used fists and sometimes guns to complete their thievery.
We've evidence they committed two murders, Sergeant. At least Palmer did. It's there on the table in his book.
Now look at it. Go on, Arkovac.
We have heard the Mounties seek them. And as the word of their terror spreads, we, too, are ever alert for the time when they may try to steal from us. And last week, Constable Palmer appeared at the summer cabin that my people have built to store the furs and hides we find. The constable, knowing I speak English, sought me out. He is very excited when he enters the cabin.
Parkerbuck, I'm glad you're here.
I'm in charge of protecting the contents of this cabin. We have heard the two thieving white men.
They're on their way here.
Huh?
I'm surprised they're not here by now.
The thieves, sir? How do you know this?
I've been close on their trail for the past 3 days, getting closer every minute. I was just a few miles behind them an hour ago. Seemed to me they were heading here.
They haven't been here.
And they're somewhere in the vicinity. I haven't investigated yet, but I knew they'd have to come to this cabin to get what they're after. And so I headed here first. We'll be ready for them. Have you a gun?
Yes, sir.
And be ready to use it.
He started for the door, Sergeant, to look around. And I worked with him. We paid no attention to the two windows, one on each side of the cabin. You can guess what happened.
Yes, they ambushed him.
Through both windows, run from each side. They must have come from the trees behind the cabin. Constable Palmer saw the movement at the window to his right, and he turned.
The swine. They didn't give him a chance.
But as he went down, he fired through one window and got this Igor's partner. He killed him.
What did you do? Just stand there?
No, sir. I used my gun.
Arkavok's wounded, Sergeant. Right arm and side.
Oh, I'm sorry, Arkavok.
Yes, sir. I was unconscious for many hours. Luckily, some of my tribesmen found me and treated my wounds. Then we started here with the constable's body. We arrived but a few hours ago.
I see. Arkavok, you say this Jambol escaped. You any idea in which direction he headed?
North, sir. We're sure of that. He didn't attempt to rob the cabin after shooting us. He rode north on his horse. The hoof prints prove that.
Guthrie, I'm heading north at once.
So am I.
Jambol can't know much about this territory, but if he's heading north, chances are he'll try to reach the ocean.
I agree with you. He's most likely to follow the river. If he did, he'd be sure to reach his destination.
Guthrie, suppose you cross the east bank of the river below here at the ford and cover the area 5 miles or so to the east of the stream, heading north all the time.
A good idea. You'll head north on the west side, huh? Working the same way.
Right.
How'll we check with each other?
Has Jambol a full day's start on us?
I'd say half a day, Sergeant. From what the Eskimos tell of him, his horse is not fast.
We have good horses, Guthrie. One of us should catch up with him within the next couple of days.
Sooner than that, I hope.
So do I, but let's say 2 days. By then we should be near River's Bend.
Yes, I imagine so.
Let's meet beyond the bend at the head of the rapids.
We'll do that. Provided one or the other hasn't made contact with our man by then.
Right. And I'll meet you there day after tomorrow. On your side, the east bank. I'll cross near Siwash Village.
We'll start then? Now?
Yes. Oh, and Constable, take Jambol alive. He must die where he was meant to die, on the gallows.
Arkovac gave a complete description of Jambol and the clothes he was wearing. A description supplied by Indians and Eskimos who had seen the man in the territory.
Oh, Maggie. Oh, boy.
Preston picked up the fresh hoof prints of a horse at sunset the following day.
Come on, Blackie!
In the morning, he followed them, getting further away from the river all the time. But he felt confident they belonged to Jambol's horse. As he galloped in pursuit, he realized at one point that he was riding parallel with River's Bend, where he had planned to meet Constable Guthrie later that day. But he dismissed all thought of the meeting as he galloped north. A short while later, he noted that the hoof prints were heading toward the riverbank, and it was there, along the shore, that he received proof that the prints were made by the horse of the man he sought.
Oh, Leggy. Oh, boy. Easy.
An old Siwash Indian, camped on the side of the stream, seeing the scarlet coat of the Mountie, signaled for Preston to stop. Then Preston asked questions. The Indian answered,
Me see man on horse. Like you say.
Tall, big man with whiskers, black?
Him stop. Him steal grub.
Stole your grub, did he? That's Jambol, all right.
The Indian reached into his small tent and brought forth a tattered coat.
Him leave this here. Take my coat. Much better one.
Let me see that. Thanks. King? This coat, boy, belongs to the man we're after. Get the scent. Good boy. Let's get going. Steady, Blackie. All right, King. Get up, Blackie.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Here, miss. You dropped your shoe.
Oh, so I did. Oh, thank you so much. I've dropped my shoe before when a clock began to strike.
What? Why, you must be Cinderella.
I am.
You're really poor little Cinderella.
Oh, you don't have to feel sorry for me anymore. Things are a lot better in the kitchen lately.
Do you mean you even have Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice in your cupboard?
Oh, yes. And aren't they delicious?
Oh, yes, indeed. You know, Cinderella, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice are shot from guns. They're actually exploded up to 8 times normal size.
Oh, no wonder they taste so crisp and tender.
Sure, they're bigger and better tasting. They're shot through and through with bang-up nut-like flavor, too.
Well, I eat a big bowlful for breakfast every morning, and lots of times for supper, too.
Do you top it with your favorite fruit as well as milk or cream?
Oh, yes, and it's... good.
Oh, it's good for you, too, Cinderella. Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice furnish extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. Did you fellas and girls get that? Well, for a nourishing breakfast treat you love to eat, reach for Quaker puffed rice or Quaker puffed wheat. The original crisp, fresh breakfast cereal shot from guns. Now to continue. Igor Jambol had one thought in mind. Flight to the Arctic Ocean shores. There he hoped he might find haven on some seal-hunting vessel.
Faster, faster!
He knew the killing of a Northwest Mounted Police officer meant relentless pursuit, and suspected that the pursuit had already begun.
You fool horse! Can you not go faster?
He slapped at the horse's head.
Get up! Get up there!
And the beast, frightened, suddenly shied. Its front leg sank into a hole in the ground, and the animal fell with a scream of pain. Jambol was thrown clear, unhurt, but the animal lay on the ground, its leg raised, and its eyes rolling in terror. Jambol rose to his feet slowly.
You dumb blind...
What is
that?
He turned toward the distant barking, and far back on a rise of ground, saw the silhouette of a dog.
No.
He realized the animal was barking to signal someone behind. He felt for the gun in his pocket, then removed it and wrapped it in the piece of oilskin he carried to keep it dry. Then he turned and ran across the marshy ground toward the stream which flowed nearby. As he neared the stream, he saw something he had not noticed before. A cabin on top of a hill on the other side of the water. Without hesitation, he plunged into the current and started to swim to the opposite shore. At that moment, King stood on top of the distant hill, barking in summons as Sergeant Preston rode up to him.
Hold on. What is it, King? What have you found? See something ahead? Oh, yes. King, boy, we've caught up with our man. Come on, Blackie! Run, King!
Igor Jambo reached the other shore. He could hear the dog on the opposite shore, approaching the spot where his horse had fallen. But Jambo paid no attention to this. Instead, he removed his revolver from the oilskin wrap and started up the slope to the cabin at the top.
So, what is this?
He glanced at the canoe propped against the side of the cabin and traps that hung on pegs. Then, without knocking, he pushed open the door.
All right, old man. Do not sit there looking so stupid. Drop that cup in your hands and remove your clothes.
His gun was pointed at an old trapper who had been drinking tea.
Do you hear what I say? Put down that cup and remove your clothes.
Dad Bauer was bewildered.
Who are you? Are you crazy?
No, I am not crazy. But I am wanted for murder. And I will add another one to my string if you do not do as I have ordered. At once!
All right. You don't have to shoot. But I don't understand.
You do not have to understand. I am being pursued. I am removing my clothes, too. You will wear these.
Me? Wear your clothes?
Yes, and be quick about it. You will run from this cabin, away from the river, and away from whoever is after me.
But I can't run.
You will run because I command it. I shall stay at this window with that rifle I see in the corner. If you stop for a second, I shall shoot. And when I shoot, I do not miss.
Meanwhile, Sergeant Preston and King had sped to the spot where they'd seen a form sprawl on the ground.
Easy.
When he saw it was a stricken horse, he dismounted and ran to where the animal lay.
All right, King, I saw him go to the cabin. We'll get him. But first I must attend this horse.
As Preston finished bandaging the horse's leg, King, standing on the bank of the stream, began to bark.
What is it, King? Oh.
Preston followed King's gaze on the opposite shore. A man stood in front of the cabin, as if he were trying to attract attention. He was dressed in the clothes that Jambo had been described as wearing. Sergeant Preston mounted his horse and shouted,
Halt, Jambo! Halt in the name of the crown!
The man turned, ran around the side of the cabin, and headed for the nearby woods.
Get up, Blackie! Come on, King! Easy, Blackie, easy.
Preston guided the horse across the wide stream to the opposite shore.
Up now.
When the horse was on solid ground, the sergeant sent him into a gallop.
Come on, Blackie!
King sped past the cabin, after the horse and rider. When they had disappeared into the woods, Jambo, who had been watching from a window, emerged from the cabin.
I have fooled you, Mr. Mountie. Now we'll get that canoe at the side of the cabin. And before you realize what's happened, I will be miles away from here.
A half mile from the cabin, Sergeant Preston overtook the fugitive. He lay face down in the grass, panting heavily.
Bull-buggy-hole, easy. Don't try any tricks, Jambo.
Sergeant Preston, don't shoot. Don't.
That Bauer, what is this?
I'm sorry, Sergeant. He made me change clothes to lead you here, away from him. He had me covered with a gun. He'd have killed me if I didn't obey him. I couldn't run another step.
Where is he?
When you passed the cabin, he planned to take my canoe and head back downstream. He's probably gone by now.
Downstream? If he does that, he'll run into the rapids.
He knows that. He must have seen them on his way up country. He said he knows how to handle a canoe. His aim is to shoot the rapids, gain as many miles as possible, and escape.
When I picked up John Bull's trail, I traveled so fast I must have left Guthrie miles behind on his side of the river. And he's supposed to meet me at River's Bend today.
Well, that's where the rapids start.
Yes, I know, Dad. That's what has me thinking. If Guthrie only knew that, but he doesn't. Then it's up to me to try and stop John Bull from getting through those rapids.
He must be miles ahead of you by now.
Not too many miles. The stream curves before it runs into the rapids. Riding across country on a straight line, I may get to the rapids as soon as he does. Ready, King?
Don't worry about me, Sergeant. I'll be all right as soon as I get my wind back.
Then I'll leave you here, Dad.
Go after him, Sergeant, and good luck.
Thanks. Come on, King. Easy, Blackie. That way!
Preston, after a breathless cross-country ride, had arrived at the rapids below River's Bend.
Hold on.
Here, the stream, after completing a wide turn a quarter of a mile above, narrowed so that the opposite banks were approximately 30 feet apart. And here the water churned as it leaped over jutting rocks in the center of the stream. For miles thereafter, downstream, the water was a rushing torrent that boiled like a cauldron.
Preston!
Constable Guthrie rode off from a nearby grove of trees.
Has John Bull passed?
John Bull passed here in the rapids?
Yes, I've been chasing him. He was heading towards the... What is it, King? Guthrie, look, here comes John Bull around the bend.
King's barking had directed Sergeant Preston's eyes to where Jambo, in his canoe, was straightening out after the turn. Ahead were the rapids and the swift current that would sweep him beyond his pursuer. Jambo peered downstream and, to his horror, saw the red coats of the two officers on the shore where the stream narrowed.
Mounty dogs! How did they get there?
It was too late to head for shore and too dangerous. His chance for escape remained as before. Jambo dug his paddle viciously into the water to straighten the canoe. He had a revolver stuck in the top of his high-laced boots, and he planned to use it.
You will not stop me, Preston. If need be, I will kill you.
The law of the Northwest Mounted Police is not to use a gun until you are fired upon. Jambo, as his canoe neared the start of the rapids, held his paddle free of the water for a moment and used his right hand to fire at the two men on shore.
We use our guns now, Guthrie.
Right. Look, here he comes under the rapids.
Don't shoot at him. We want him alive. Fire at his canoe when he's closer.
Right.
Jambo entered the rapids, paddling with all his strength and trying to stay close to the opposite shore. But Preston and Guthrie were marksmen. Their shots ripped through the craft, and within seconds, water began to pour into the bottom. Panicky, Jambo reached for his gun once more. But as he did, the canoe hit a rock, throwing him into the swirling waters. His head hit a corner of the rocks, but somehow Jambo managed to hold on to the jutting edge.
Help! I cannot swim! Save me!
Preston took in the situation at a glance.
He can't swim. He'll drown if I don't get him. That current's too strong to swim through.
Then another thought came, and Preston tied a rope tightly around his waist.
Guthrie, hold tight to the rope. I'm going in after him.
I've got it.
Preston removed his hat and boots and plunged into the turbulent water. His strokes were long and powerful, but the savage current would have dashed him against the rocks and sent him whirling downstream had it not been for Constable Guthrie. The rope was beneath Preston's arms, around his chest, and Guthrie pulled and tugged, leading him as he would a great game fish towards the struggling Jambo.
Careful, Preston! That's it!
God, save me! I'm drowning!
Give me your arm, Jambo. Come on, your arm!
Preston was holding one free hand onto the jutting rock. With the other, he grabbed Jambo's arm.
Use your hands to hold onto the rope around my waist. Use both hands.
I'm drowning!
You're not going to drown. I'll make sure you don't. Take hold of that rope. No!
All right. I have it.
All right. Start pulling, Guthrie!
As Jambo held onto the rope around Preston's waist, the Mountie swam back to where Guthrie stood on shore. Guthrie, tugging on the rope, guided them back to the edge of the rapids. Then, assisted by Preston, still in the water, he pulled Jambo ashore.
Lie down over here, Jambo. Let me give you a hand, Preston.
Thanks, Guthrie.
Nice going, Preston. Nice going.
Yes, King boy, we caught him. Jambo's getting his strength back now. Guthrie, suppose we start to question him. Something tells me that he's in no position to refuse. Sit up, Jambo. We've some questions to ask you.
An hour later, Jambo was handcuffed and placed on Guthrie's horse. The man, frightened, had confessed the murder of Palmer and two Eskimos, and had told of the places where he had hidden the stolen furs. Now, Sergeant Preston prepared to leave.
You'll not come to Dawson with me when I take this fellow in?
No, not now. I'll be there for the trial. I said we'd take him alive to die on the gallows.
You almost lost your life doing it.
But we did it. That's all that matters. For the time being, as far as I'm concerned, this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. This is your inquiring reporter with a question for the day. What is your family's favorite breakfast cereal?
Of course, it's Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat.
Well, tell me, why do your children like them?
They like them because they're the ones shot from guns.
And what does Dad like about them?
Oh, he likes their toasty, nut-like flavor.
Ah, yes. That's the flavor of the good, natural grain. The sun-ripened flavor that old Mother Nature puts into it.
Well, you see, in our family, the children like their cereal very, very sweet. But my husband doesn't want his nearly so sweet.
And that's the beauty of Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. They are never coated with factory sweetening.
Yes, that is their big advantage. My family can sweeten them with sugar just the way they like them.
And every bowlful gives your family extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
That's why I'm glad my family wants to eat them every single morning.
So, it's a smart mother who always puts delicious, nourishing Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat on the breakfast table. Remember, the ones shot from guns come only in the big red and blue packages with a sealed inner lining that keeps them fresh as can be. Now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, the missing heir to a British title in the States is thought to have been raised as an Eskimo. A special investigator is here from London to search for him.
What's the name of the missing man, sir?
Ernest Deming. His father, son of Lord Deming, Earl of Richland, became a missionary here among the Eskimos against Lord Deming's wishes. The missionary and his wife died during an epidemic about 17 or 18 years ago. Their baby boy never was accounted for. Sergeant, I want you to search among the Eskimos for some trace of him.
I'll leave at once, Inspector.
When Sergeant Preston does leave with the British investigator to search for the missing heir, he doesn't realize others are also searching with the intent to murder the young heir. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at the same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns. Only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has all your family's cereal favorites. A regular cereal pantry. That's Quaker Pak-O-Ten. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. Pak-O-Ten, and only Pak-O-Ten, has wheat and rice shot from guns. And Pak-O-Ten alone has the individual packages with the cellophane windows. There's both an inner and outer cellophane wrap to doubly protect that day it's made Christmas. Pick up a pack of Pak-O-Ten at your grocer's tomorrow. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at the same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.